We're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Hey, folks, good morning. Good Monday morning here, February 19th, 2018. Thanks for joining us. You know, I got to make fun of my buddy Chad. Chad's here. He's upstairs. Can't even get up. When he's working, he's able to listen to the show, but I got him right here in the house when I'm bringing him down here in the studio, and his butt's still up there asleep, if you can believe that. The heck's that all about, Chad? I got him a chair right here, got him a seat here in the stadium, still up there asleep.
Wake up, Chad.
Yeah, come on, Chad. Come on, Chad. He'll come down here in a few minutes with his tail between his legs. And, man, I had a great weekend. I got two things I got to tell you. Number one, Chad and I last night were invited to the activist mommy's house. Some of you know this, some of you don't know this. Elizabeth Johnston, the activist mommy, we go to church together. Elizabeth Johnston has over 1 million followers on her Facebook. It's unbelievable. 1 million. And you know where it started, where her Facebook got going? She would tell you, she's sitting right here, she would tell you the same thing. We were at the Target protest. Johnstons live about 30 minutes from where we live. And I started the Target protest. And, of course, they're activists. They got 10 kids. She and her husband, Doc Johnston, have 10 kids. And they're street rats activists. And so, of course, they came. And they came to the Target protest. And just in a casual conversation, I walked over saying, you know, Elizabeth, you need to start a Facebook channel. He said, what? I said, yeah, man, you need to make some videos. You're pretty. You're articulate. You are everything the left hates in a woman. You're everything. And you're an activist. You're out here. You understand how the game's played. And so she took up my advice. She has over 1 million followers. 1 million. Think about that. When she makes a YouTube, boom, it goes to 1 million people. Amazing. Well, her husband, Dr. Patrick Johnston, is a author as well as a doctor, produces, I don't know how many novels he's written, but one of them is The Reliant, the book The Reliant, which he's turned into a movie starring Kevin Sorbo and Brian Bosworth and Nicole C. Mullen. And I've been talking about it. Well, Chad Estes and I last night, and my wife, we got a preview of the movie. We saw the movie last night. We went over to their house, watched the movie. I'm telling you, man, it is like nothing I've ever seen. Ready? Guns, blood, guts, death, and a Christian story. It is unbelievable. Not cheesy, not some soft gospel. Not say this prayer, repeat after me. Man. Oh my goodness. It was so intense. From shooting scene to shooting scene. It was so intense. And so when it's over, we're talking a little bit back and forth. What's your reaction? What do you think? What do you think? I said, first of all, golly, Christians aren't going to take they're not going to take their kids to that movie. Kids will love it, but they're not going to take. Christians are too soft. They're not going to take their kids to that movie. And at the end of Brian Bosworth, the Boz, oh my goodness, is he good in this movie. And at the end, I'm not going to ruin it for you. Powerful scene with the Boz at the end of the movie. Oh my goodness. Oh man, it is something. And I asked my wife, I asked Michelle, I said, well, how would you describe that, Michelle? Well, Doc asked us all last night as we were watching it. He and his 10 kids sitting around having everything but popcorn as we're watching it. Said, how would you describe that movie? And I said, oh my goodness. It's not cheesy. I don't want to say it's a Christian movie. That's almost defamatory to call it a Christian movie. Although the gospel is so deep through it and oh man, is it a gospel centered movie? But if you think it's one of those cheesy little gospel movies, it ain't, man. It is not. Wow, was it something? So I would say it's intense. That would be a word I would use. It's intense with a Christian theme.
What's the title?
The Reliant. The Reliant. Now it's in process right now of bidding over distributors and all that stuff. I'm guessing we're going to see it probably released midsummer or early fall, just because it takes a process to go through. It is, oh my goodness, Christians with guns defending their neighbor, all that stuff that they don't tell us about in the church. It is real. If Chad was awake, I'd let him amen it, because he said after the movie, he said I'd pay three times to see it again. He got to see it free last night. I'll pay three times to see it again. It's wow,
wake
really
up,
really
Chad.
Good. Yeah. Well, it was, so it's really, really good, and we're really, really pumped, about that. Wow, The Reliant, and I think I showed you guys a trailer to that, and you know, it was really cool because after the movie was over, Doc and Elizabeth sat us down and said, "Okay, come on, man, beat us up. What'd you notice? What was this? What could you follow the story and all that stuff?" Because they've done little revisions all the way through. When people watch it like that, critics watch it, they do a revision, they throw this scene out, throw this scene, strengthen this scene. They're still in the process of it. They're going to do one more, probably one or two more little revisions, which includes actually have to refilming a couple scenes. I don't know how they're going to do it, but the guys in Hollywood know how to do it. And man, here's how they do it. I guess they inject into the movie dialogue, but you don't actually see the people seeing it. Does that make sense? So let's say I'm talking to you and they want to change my words. As I'm talking, all of a sudden it'll be a scene of the teepee they're staying in or of the river. So they'll superimpose words without it. So it's going to be something to see, man. I may get a little clip for you to get that out there. It was had a great weekend, but it was one of the highlights of our weekend. And as I was saying before we went on the air here today, I had some guys to our house this weekend. First of all, my Lord, what a wife I have. Oh my goodness. I just can't even tell you the preparation of food, the hospitality that my wife has is a gift from the Lord. And I'm so grateful for it. She just wants to serve.
Amen.
So we had about I don't know, six, eight. I could count how many guys that showed up here. So, some of them local, so it was easy. And I invited some others out there just because you remember I talked, Mark Trump was one of them. Mark gave me heaven, says quit talking about the 10-cent plan because it's not a 10-cent. You got $1 million gift and it's $1 million plan. And we're going to put the whole thing together. So that's why I brought these guys together, just to, different ones, and some couldn't make it, and some didn't get invited, and you know, so you know, don't get sore if you didn't get invited. But I got this, and I said this just before we came on. Men need men. Men need men. And I saw something very vividly this weekend. Men need men. When you get a group of eight men together, and you're not talking about fishing, and you're not talking about basketball game, and you're not talking. So we have a men's breakfast, and all the men come there, and you talk about real, y'all do real shallow stuff. And some guy gets up there and gives a sermon about how you're supposed to treat your wife, or what you're supposed to do with your finances. And then everybody eats their bacon and goes home. Men, there is no dynamic like men talking about spiritual issues. There is nothing like it. Iron sharpens iron. And I saw not only what happened in my own life with these men around, but I saw what happened in their life. I saw that, you know, my buddy Jim Kraft. Jim listens every day. He doesn't come on live. Jim and his wife Gwen, I've known them a while. They're from down on the river, Gallup, East Ohio, and it's a 2-hour drive. And Jim and Gwen made it up Friday night and Saturday. And, oh my goodness, the outlet, the stuff that came out of Jim Kraft that he is bottling up because he has nobody to share it with. It was a time of purging almost for him. I said, man, boy, somebody took a plunger to you, didn't they, Jim? They took a plunger to you. And he needed it. And it's the idea of iron sharpens iron. That's why I'm more focused than ever on this national gathering that we're going to have of men in June. And you need to start right now putting money aside that you can get. There should be no option. $20 a week. $20 a week you're going to have from now. I don't know how many weeks that is, Jared, but that's probably $400 that you would have set aside in a jar that's going to enable you to be able to get out here. Now, we're going to do the best we can to try to keep the expenses down. Maybe we'll find a place for us to camp, sleep on the floor, whatever. You may not have to pay for a hotel, but whatever it's going to, you guys mark that down. June, I think it's 15, 16, 17, whatever that weekend is. You get here. You get your butt here. But can I tell you why? George Lewis needs to look in the eyes of Mark Trump. And Mark Trump needs to look in the eyes of Tim out in, Tuber out in, Oregon. And Tim needs to look in the eyes of Roger. And Roger needs to look in the eyes of Rob Pugh. And Rob needs to look in the eyes of Rich. And Rich needs to look in the eye. And we need to be able to look into the eyes of our brothers and understand that the Lord is doing something beyond what we know that he's doing. I'm just telling you. I made a big mistake, by the way. Rob Pugh, who was one of the guys who's down here from Wisconsin, he and his wife Lisa came down as well. Rob Pugh impressed upon me that women are included. He said some of the greatest women, some of the greatest warriors we have are women. Some of them are. Coach, you cannot not include women. Well, you know me. I agree with you. I'm thinking logistically, all that stuff. How do we get all the men? Where do we house all the men? All that kind of stuff. And there is a dynamic that happens when men get along with other men. But I think we need women. So women are invited to it. I'm going to figure out how to work this whole thing out. We are building an army. And sometimes, despite what they tell you, even though we know that men fight wars, women play a strategic role in the army as well. So what date is that, Jared? Shame on me that I should be able to just rattle these things off, but I got it. That's the Homo Pride weekend. So it's like June 15, 16 or 17, whatever. And, we're still planning what it's going to be. Are we going to go to the Homo Parade? I don't know if we're going to do, We're going to do something. I took the guys to the streets to the Planned Parenthood. I may have a little video. Maybe I'll show that in a second. We took them to the Planned Parenthood, even though Planned Parenthood wasn't open. We went to two different abortion clinics, actually. And for some of the guys, it was the first time they'd been at the abortion clinic. And it was easy because there was no opposition. But they saw the power of being out in the streets with the signs and the cars honking and cars flipping you off. They saw it. They saw it. Got a little bit of smoke in the battle. We need more of that stuff. I feel like I'm rambling. Do I want to discuss that? Oh my goodness. Yeah, I do. Jared, I didn't send you this. Try to Google right now. I'm going to have Jared try to Google this I'm going to let some of you jump in here real quick. Jared, Google claw, C-L-A-W, claw, C-L-A-W.
In Cleveland, 2018.
Cleveland, 2018. There's an event that's coming up. See, I don't let the cat out of the bag, okay? But this is certainly something we ought to be aware of that's going on.
New claw, Cleveland, 2018.
Claw, C-L-A-W, Cleveland, 2018. It ought to come up. I should have sent it to you this morning. And it's this vile, bondage, leather.
Go back, Jared.
Pervert, men's gathering. Men's gathering in Cleveland in a public hotel where
there it is. That's it.
Where they're doing classes on fisting. Let your mind run on that. fisting.
Go underneath claw.
Fisting. Yeah, Mark. Yeah, let me. Jared's looking for it right now. Yeah. Get it up there on the screen. So
up top, drop down.
Jared, is it under? Oh yeah, it's under. I got you, Jared. On the screen, guys, look at this. I don't know if you can see your screen. April 26, 2018. This is being held in a hotel in Cleveland, Ohio. Is Claw 18 barely legal? Barely legal. And look what the package includes. Men's BDSM play spaces. You see, this is a public hotel. Public hotel where other people are going to be there. Right? So they're going to rent some room, they're going to rent some conference rooms. Over 100 skills and education offerings. Skills and education. Can you imagine that? Can you let your mind wander? How about this? They're going to have a cigar deck, naked pool parties, pup mosh. I don't even know what that is. Speed dating. I figure out what that is. Fetish parties. In the pool. Where other people's families are, right? Or how about this one? Where these guys are going to be doing this debauchery on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I bring my family and my grandchildren for a trip at the hotel. We come in and dive. Any idea that this took place the night before? I don't want to talk any more about it. Okay. It's going on right in our stinking communities. It's a health issue. It's not a homo issue. It's a health issue. The health issue.
Coach, I've actually been putting together a flyer about the health issue and the health risks and all the parasites and all of the germs and bacteria and everything that come from all these activities.
David, it's a public health issue, David. It's a public health issue. And we need to find out Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, how the heck are they allowed to do this in a public hotel? And are we sure when this thing's over, it's been debugged? No germs left behind from these guys out here and teach classes on fisting? Man, oh, man. Get that off that screen. It's so vulgar, I can't even.
Amen.
The world's on fire, fellas. World's on fire. Hey, Mark, jump in here real quick just to give these guys from your view just a little bit of this weekend, what you got. Mark drove about 5 hours, 5.5 hours, 6 hours from. He lives down in down by Roanoke. Jump in here, if you will, real quick there.
Yeah, it was just like Coach said, it was what I put together since Boise is I made friends with a guy out in Boise named Robert. So we got all the dispersed body of Christ. I mean, it's just you get together in your churches locally. You got neighbors and friends by your homes. This was completely different. Like Coach said, it was almost like work, but it was spending time with Christ, talking about glorifying him, how we're going to do things. I mean, it was an amazing time. I met Gary, one of the most impressive guys. Who does not know Gary? I mean, I didn't know Gary.
Gary doesn't come on the queue. Gary works behind the scene with us here at Pass the Salt. He's putting meat on the bones. He and Sarge are putting meat on the bones. People don't even know this is going on. But so, Gary was there. He was there to keep us on track, keep notes. It's amazing.
So, guys, we're at a turning point. I believe Coach and Pass the Salt is at a turning point. He's encountering growth. I heard about whenever the queue is at 10 and they expanded it to 25. You know, the things that happened, and now we're at 25. It's full just about every day. But guys, what Chad has done, I got to give Chad props here. He has picked up what Coach has taught, and he's got a group, and this group is ready to act. I mean, he's got men down in Texas just like us that are committed, and that is ultimately our mission, is to go off and do something in our areas that resonates with our gifts. And that is what became clear, is each of these men that they've brought down have activated their gifts, are hungry to get out of the four walls of the church and do something, you know, and contribute and contact the congressman and write the letters and send the emails. And it's such an exciting time, and I was so honored and humbled to be a part of it. I met Roger. It's just a whole experience. I totally agree with what Dave's saying. You got to be there in June.
Yep, because you'll connect with guys that just ain't gonna believe it.
Vinny, you got to be there, buddy. Every one of you, David. Look forward to seeing you. I'll be there. So every single one of you ought to try.
I'll see what you do, brother.
Not only that, is let us know if you can't for any reason other than your major priorities. You know, God's got you doing something else. But let us know if you can't make it. Okay?
You know, guys, let me jump in here. Roger, I want you to come in here in a second, but not yet. On Sunday morning, by the way, Mark, I can't believe we didn't do an ordination process. I felt, oh, my goodness, let you guys get out of here without us laying hands on you guys. That's miserable.
Hey, Coach, God's will was done, okay?
It was. We had a great weekend. Guys, listen, we sat down to have a Bible study on Sunday morning. It was me and Gary, and Mark was still here, and Chad, and some of them had left. A couple of them stayed in the hotel because their wives were with them. I didn't have room for them. And I was going to teach on 1 Corinthians 12, one body, many members, and started to get into that and never really got into it because here's the issue that we're dealing with. Can I just lay it out there for you? Just as much as I know that I know. The problem for the average Christian, and especially Christian men, is we have inflow, but we don't have any outflow. There are no demands made on your faith at all. And you go to church, and whether you go to men's breakfast, whatever, you go to church, and there's never a demand made on your faith. When you go to the average church service on Sunday morning, it's about how you can be encouraged. And whether you realize this or not, you are constantly having inflow, constantly. Going to church, going to men's breakfast, going inflow, inflow, inflow. But the average guy has no outflow. He doesn't even know how to do it. Doesn't even know. And I said that, and if we really want to see this thing turn around, this thing called Christianity, if we really want to see this thing turn around, we're going to have to do two things. We're going to have to make a greater commitment. And we're going to have to start flowing out. I'm going to say that again because some of you didn't get it. You're going to have to make a greater commitment. Nothing great was ever accomplished without a little bit of sacrifice. So you're going to have to make a commitment that you're all in on this thing called Christianity, not me, not DQ. You are all in with your faith. And number two, you're going to start outflowing into others.
Amen.
And you're going to have to form a mindset that when you're looking with people at in your church or Christians you come in contact with or guys that you're trying to hook, you got to understand that it ain't about you and you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone and you're going to have to get the plunger and you're going to have to unstop yourself and you got to start flowing out. And amen. I believe that as we begin to flow out, the other guys naturally receive. That's what they're used to doing. Everybody's used to receiving, right? And it becomes an emotional thing and an emotional experience. No. There's outflow involved. And we were standing on the streets just out in front of the clinic there at Planned Parenthood on Saturday. And these people walking up and down the streets and the conversations we started with these people walking up and down the streets, we flow into them. We're not trying to get anything out of them. I can't emphasize to you enough how important outflow is. Like this, okay? How about this? I'm going to show you an example of outflow. We don't think this way. We have not been taught to think like this. So we're having a national gathering here in June. Did you get that date of that weekend? Because I want to, I'll tell people, 15 is Friday, 15, 16, 7, 15, 16. We're going to have this gathering. Now, here's what I know. Some of you can't come. Some of you can't. Has it ever dawned on you to say, hey, coach, whose flight can I pay? Has it ever dawned on you to flow out? Or do you always want it flowing in? Say, you know, man, I can't be there, but boy, I'd sure like to send somebody. I need a little bit of that I need a little bit of a connection in that thing, and I can't go myself, but boy, I can invest some of my time and talent and money, and I can help somebody else get there. Coach, is there somebody I can fly in? That's outflow. And so when Vince flies in, Vince doesn't have the money to fly in, but somebody flies Vince in, and Vince says, golly, how did I get here? Say, because Roger paid for it. And now all of a sudden, Vince has got a connection with Roger. Outflow attracts. Outflow. Not inflow. Outflow. That will transform our churches. It'll transform it. And it's not that hard to do. Put your $20 a week aside and then say, golly, I can't go. Who can I send? We got to start thinking about that. Because it's all gimme, 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 gimme. It's all spiritual welfare. It's all that. Yes, Serge?
I was just agreeing, Coach. Amen.
Oh, okay. I thought you said, yeah, amen. I'm telling you. I got such a connection with Mark and these guys that I didn't have before. And it happened because of outflow. I float out every day. And now Mark got to come and he got the outflow into me. And Rob Pugh got the outflow into me. And Jim Kraft got to come and outflow into me. Something happens, man. Something happens. Rog, jump in here real quick.
Well, and Dave, I live near you. I live half hour. And we don't get together as much as we should just as friends. But I think what I enjoyed about the weekend and the time I spent is I just enjoy the fellowship. You know, I wish it was much deeper than that. I wish it was. But I love being around men who are strong, who have opinions, who are willing to do something, who are willing to talk about things, who understands God's word. I've been to all the breakfasts with sausage and eggs, and they fly somebody in who's from here or there, and it's just so empty. And so whenever I show up at one of these little gatherings, it's the fellowship for me. And it spurs me on stronger in my own faith and my own actions. But I just love laughing with the men. I just love hugging the guys. You know, I just love the fellowship. But I don't think I'm odd. I think men are craving that.
I know they are. I know they are.
Hey,
I know they are. Yeah.
You're talking about the outflow from men. You know, the verse in the Bible where Jesus says, I will come and I will reward each man for his works. You know that word reward, the front part of that word reward in the Greek means outflow.
Does it really? Does it really? Well, there's something to it, guys. There's something.
Wow,
there's something.
There's, how about that?
How about that, huh? How about that? And, you know, I hate talking. It's like talking about a vacation when nobody got to go on it. I'm not trying to do that to you. Okay, I'm not trying to do that to you. I'm just telling you the importance of outflow. Yeah, Mark.
One more note that I really, after Roger said that, the fellowship, but also the quality. This group of men that met, I was, you know, Dave brought them in, he invited them all this, but I mean, you're sitting there looking at each individual man. Kevin, the guy that JR brought. Kevin, that dude was incredible. I mean, I don't know where he's at. He's not on the queue that often, I don't think. But this is a highly intelligent, highly passionate, Christ-filled individual. He was amazing in himself. Morning, Jared. Morning. Yeah. How you doing, man?
Late. He slept in.
You're right. But the quality of man.
But not only that, Mark. We put a demand on him. We gave him a chance to have some outflow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the ways that we grow is the opportunity to have some outflow. Chad got his butt up finally here. He has to fly out here this morning. Chad,
just resting my arms before I start flying.
He's just resting his arms before. So the microphone's on, Chad. Just give your. I don't know if you've been listening.
No.
Okay. So I talked about the movie. Talked about the movie.
Okay.
And then the weekend. The importance of outflow. Just give your kind of reaction, Chad. Chad's been here. Chad flew in Friday, got him about 1 o'clock at the airport. He's flying out at 10 o'clock this morning. This, what do you think, Chad?
Well, what we talked about a little bit, you know, of funerals. We have, you know, we've all been to a funeral, and what happens during the funeral is they tell you how great that person was and how much they touched their lives. You know, most of the time, you know, they say that. But, you know, the person doesn't hear it. So they need that outflow, outflow while they're alive.
Chad needed to hear from Mark Trump what a great job Chad's doing. Not that he's prideful, but don't wait till he's dead to tell him. No, I wish I'd told Chad how good a job he was doing. Do it now. That's the inflow. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, not necessarily myself. Just saying that, you know, we see people that hey, they have a haircut. They've gotten a haircut, like where you work or around where you're at. And we don't say anything. We don't say, hey, I noticed you got a haircut. You know, we just need to put a, you know, if we're going to go out and be leaders, okay, we can't be hung up on receiving all the compliments. We have to be pure for themselves. Go out, give other people that. Now, don't blow smoke. You certainly
tell them the truth about it.
They'll know. Okay, but if they say, does my hair look nice? And he's like, well, you know, if you don't like it, then, you know, don't bring it up. I don't know what I'm trying to say here.
I know what you're trying to say. Don't blow smoke. Don't say a thing. But recognize a guy's gift. Or just recognize it. Don't make it phony. Say, man, hey. I know this is, man, you're really good. You're a great encourager, Chad. Hey. You make a lot
everybody
of you make a lot of people laugh.
Yeah, everybody on the queue, y'all look at Chad. He's a real deal.
And you wouldn't know that if you not looked him in the eyes. You wouldn't know that, would you, Mark?
That's it, Chad. You got it, buddy.
Well, okay.
So, Chad, real quickly then, to kind of catch up here, give them your impression of the movie we saw last night.
Well, I thought it was real. I was touched by it. Kind of a hard guy, a tougher guy, and then there's a few times that I felt the emotion of the movie pour out onto us, through us, and feel it. There was enough of the guy stuff in there, I think, to keep guys going, and I think there was enough of the girl, the stuff that women like, there was enough of that in there too. Sincerity, then, the emotional feelings and those things. You know, you got to have a balance if you're trying to reach a certain audience. If you're trying to, you know, please everybody, which is pretty hard to do, I think this movie does do it.
Wasn't cheesy.
No, I didn't think it was cheesy. I didn't think it was cheesy.
Had some blood and guts in it, and it was riveting. So, it was riveting.
Yeah, I thought it was real.
Real. So there it is. I think Chad cried a couple times. I won't say it, Chad. I think his eyes watered up a couple times. I know my wife did. Of course, my wife cries when you step on a fly, you know, so that would be a
coach.
Yeah.
Just a teeny bit of follow up on that outflow thing from the word reward there in that verse, Matthew 16:27, for the Son shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, in our minds, we place that reward as a good thing, but that word reward is an outflow of giving gifts. So Jesus is going to pass out. He's going to give out consequences and eternal judgment on whatever a person's works were.
That's something, isn't it?
Every man's works are going to get Jesus's outflow, and some are going to be happy and some not.
Amen, Larry. David Arthur said he can't even fathom what it would be like to be face to face with some of these guys. That's why we need to do it, because it'll become a lot more real. So I'm focusing this morning then, as a result of all this, I'm focusing a little bit on masculinity, because we've lost the masculinity. In fact, there was a time in the movie last night when I leaned over to Chad and said, time for him to man up. I won't say any more than that, other than that there was a point in the movie where they needed some masculinity in that scene, huh? And, I mean, there wasn't any, because there wasn't supposed to be any there. But it was very clear this masculinity would have been a really good, that'd have been a really good place to put it in there. But see, we don't even know what that means anymore. Don't even know. So I want to show you a couple different things here. Jared, let's start in Webster's 1828 dictionary. I know, I got to go to the scripture. Gonna do that too, don't I? Yeah, I better do that. And then we'll go to Webster's, Jared. Hey, Jared, let's go to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Is Old Silver with us today? I'm going to have him read for us. No, he's not. Okay, well, I can read it. Anybody else want to read for me? No, not you, Larry. Okay, Vinny, good. You can get in there. No, just kidding, Larry. Just kidding, all right? Jeremiah 23, verse 9. Okay, now, Chad, we'll get it up on the screen here so Jared will make it available for us to be able to follow along as well. Hang on there, boys. Let me get it. Jeremiah 23, beginning in verse 9. I like Jeremiah. Did you know this? He was the weeping prophet. I think that's what they called him. Did you know that Jeremiah never had one recruit, never built one downline? Never had one convert. Wow. Okay. Jeremiah sets the picture for us. I believe we can superimpose this into 2018 America. Go ahead. Go ahead there, Vinny.
Okay.
Verse 9, Vinny.
Yep, I'm waiting for him. Okay. Mine heart. Okay. All righty. One second, guys. Come on. Okay, here we go. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets.
Stop a minute. Why is it broken, Vinny?
My heart.
Because the prophets. The prophets are breaking his heart. Let's find out why. Go ahead.
All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man. And like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness.
Keep going.
For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord.
Hey, Vinny, where did he find the wickedness? Did he find the wickedness out in the world? Did he find it in the government? Where did he find it? In my house.
Oh.
In my house have I found the wickedness, saith the Lord. Right?
Indeed.
Okay. Hey, listen, guys. Don't miss it. I'm sorry, Vinny. Stay with me a second.
Of course.
Our pastors are driving men away from the true nature of God. Not on purpose, but they've bought into the seeker-sensitive movement and who are you to judge, and the very nature of God being one of perfect holiness and righteousness. Our pastors and our prophets are profane in that they're teaching us a different God, about a different Jesus, and in fact, driving us away from the true nature of God. Keep going, Vinny.
Wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on. And fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, evil in the year of their visitation, saith the Lord.
Who's bringing the evil? Is the evil coming from the devils? Is that where it's got old devils after us again? No. I will bring it, he said.
And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err.
Sit down now. Sit down now. Listen to this one. Verse 14. Sit down.
I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers.
Do what, Vinny? What do they do, Vinny?
They strengthen also the hands of evildoers.
They strengthen also. Who's strengthening the hands of the evildoers? Why, my prophets and my pastors. They're strengthening the hands of the evildoers. How are they doing that? Well, gay marriage, you know, we just got to love them into the kingdom here. No, they're strengthening the hands of the evildoers. That's why these guys can have this homosexual fest in Cleveland, Ohio, because there ain't nobody that's fighting against it. In fact, they're strengthening their hand. Who are you to judge?
Yeah, they're participating in those marches. They are. It's like holding a banner.
Come on, man.
And then if the church speaks, other people in the church speak out against it, then they attack them.
That's right. They
browbeat.
They're drawing men away from God, not to God. Go ahead. Hey, Vinny, start again on 14. I'll shut up and let you finish.
No, you got it. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants therefore as Gomorrah.
You get what he said? They are all of them. He didn't say they are. He said they are. I ain't making no exceptions. All of them, he said. All of them. What are they doing? What the takeaway from this is, I want you to see that they strengthen also the hands of the evildoer.
Indeed.
Okay.
And also, he's not saying here, when he says all of them, he's not saying, well, some of them are out feeding the poor. Okay. Some of them are giving coats to them in the winter. All right. But still, the line in the sand is drawn right there. You see it.
Because we're not cutting them off. See, I can be nice. This is hard for us to understand. Jesus said, in that day, many will come to the Lord. Didn't we take care of the poor? And didn't we do all these wonderful things?
I cast out demons in your name.
I did all that stuff for you. And he said, listen, dude, you missed it, man. You missed it. You were doing all these fluffy, nice things, and that's all okay. That's all good. But I got to tell you something. When the rubber meets the road, I never knew you. When the tough grinding took place, you were nowhere to be found, baby. That's what he's saying here, because whether we know it or not, when we continue to feed the homeless, oh, I have to say it, Lord, when we continue to feed the homeless, we're strengthening the hands of the evildoer. Those who are trying to keep those people in bondage, we're strengthening their hand. So we're allowing them to create victims, and then we take care of the victims. So they create more victims, and the church takes care of the victims. And they create more victims, and the church takes care of the victims. And the church never goes and knocks on the door and says, stop creating victims! Stop it! We don't do that. And in our desire to be good and kind and nice and loving, and who are you to judge, we continually strengthen the hands of these evildoers. You see that picture?
Just love them, Coach.
Just love them. You're so judgmental. Coach, you're so judgmental and negative. Well, you're strengthening their freaking hand. You guys see the connection? I know you do.
I mean, how can you go through, drive through one of those animal zoos and it says, don't feed the animals? Why is that? Because they don't want them to become dependent on handouts.
None.
Why is that? Because it's powerful. So what do? Well, we feed our people. Them handouts.
That's right. Teach them to fish, right? Let's real quickly, then we'll move back to the Webster's. Let's go to verse 22, Vinny. Roger.
Real quick. Is there any place in the Bible that even teaches victimhood? I mean, I don't think there's any place that even teaches victimhood, but no. Yet teach it and support it.
Yeah. And listen. And then LeBron James has the platform to stand up. A guy never graduated, never went to first, second of college, who went from being a teenager to a multimillionaire. You think he understands the struggle of life? He's trying to tell us the struggle. I don't know if you guys have followed that one at all or not. It's strengthening the hands of the evildoers. See? It's strengthening the hands of the evildoers. And then LeBron James, I like LeBron James. He talks about how we got to do this and be set this and be an example and be an example. And then you play a clip from when he spoke at the parade when they won the championship back in 2016, every other word's F. He's speaking to a public address system, every other word's F.
Ridiculous.
We're sick. 22. Hey, Vinny, finish this one up. So good thing about Jeremiah, he always paints a picture and then he shows us what we could have done. I just want to settle right here on verse 22. Verse 21 says, I've not sent these prophets. Says, listen, boys, I didn't send them. You're listening to them, I didn't send them. That's 21. I ain't even spoken. I don't even know who they are. I ain't even spoken to these guys that you're listening to. Jeremiah says, right?
I'm not responsible for them being here.
And I'm not. Right.
But if they had stood in my counsel, he said, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. If they'd have just listened to me, he said, a lot of this crap you see going on wouldn't be going on.
Right.
But the prophets are strengthening the hands. Okay? Cool. Say, Coach, that was awesome. I ain't never seen that one before.
Well, here's the problem. Hey, Coach, the problem wasn't that. Hey, brother, good morning. Hey, Chad.
Sir.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is God told Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, you're going to preach these things. Fire is going to shoot up in your bones. He said, but I want to let you know straight up, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you. And we need to take a lesson from that, because many times we want to shut down because, oh, they're not listening. They're not going to receive me. So
That's right.
As it was in those days, that's the way it is right now. They're not wanting to receive. You know, going back to that perverted event that's about to happen up there that you were talking about. I'm sorry, I'm a little winded. I'm getting ready to work on my cars. You know, they cannot reproduce. They recruit. And as Christians, we definitely are reproducing, but we should also be out recruiting.
Recruiting, are we?
No, we're not, brother. We're not recruiting.
We're producing children for them to recruit.
That's exactly it.
When you do not oppose their recruiting, you are strengthening their recruiting.
Well, not only that.
Right. Strengthening the hand of the oppressor.
Go back. We turn them over to the system, right? Indoctrination, carcinogens,
right? That's right. Because we don't want to stand up and fight back and push back against it and call it a sin. Call it what it is. We're strengthening the hands of the evildoers, right? Stay there, Jared.
Go ahead, bro.
Verse 25 says, Jeremiah says, I've heard what the prophets say. They prophesy lies. And using my name, and they prophesy lies, the Lord said. Saying, I have dreamed, and they ain't dreamed. That ain't happened. He says, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets? The prophesy lies, yeah. They're prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Wow. Hey, Jared, they want you to go back to claw. I want to spend a whole lot of time on it. Because it's dirty. Go up to where it says attending. Go up, Jared, to where it says, go up a little bit right there, attending. No, that's claw. Come over to attending right beside it, Jared. There it is. Huh, let's see. Skills and education. Or skills and education. What skills do they teach, Jared? I wonder. Click on that. See what kind of skills we're learning. $189 one. Oh, let's do it. Bondage mummification. I can't wait to go do that. That would be fun. Bondage rope. Hog ties for beginners. Rope suspension. Do you have any of these? Huh? Community activism. They're out strengthening the hands. Cigar fundamentals. Let your mind run wild on that. Huh? Oh, my. Open. Poly and bi. Oh, my. Open and poly and bi. Oh, my. Open and poly and bi. Oh, my. The Asian and Asian American experience in kink and fetish. Is this classes?
I would say go to our politicians and tell them that they need to do something about it. But actually, you could probably go there, and that's where our politicians will be.
Right.
That's probably true.
Amen.
Beyond Brown. Think about that. Beyond Brown. Now, hey, what do you suppose that is? Beyond Brown. Go ahead, Serge.
Can you go to... Can you have Jared in claw? Let me see here. I can't believe the amount of money that they're making. Go to the
Oh my goodness.
Go to about claw.
About claw.
Yeah. Now scroll down. No.
22 charities.
Yeah. Look at the money.
Look at that. Since it began. Claw's annual event has now raised $523,000 for charities. What kind of charities do you suppose that is? Yeah,
that's amazing.
Huh?
Okay. But when we look back right here on, would these guys be a prophet of some sort?
They sure.
Okay. But are they doing what they're supposed to be doing?
They ain't hearing from it.
Okay. So this is the perfect example. Even though they're out giving charity, they're out helping other people, allegedly, and, They're not doing God's will.
So let's look here. Stay right there. What are some of these beautiful
Look at these charities. Oh, they gave $26,250 to Leather Archive Museum. The Leather Heart Foundation got $12,000. Team Friendly, a dynamic organization combining the stigma of HIV through presentations at gay male. They're calling these charities. You understand? Understand this? Oh, my Lord, Lord, Lord. Okay, Jared, get that off. Because I'm getting a little nervous sitting this close to Chad, if you know what I'm talking about. So, Jared, let's go to Webster's 1828 dictionary.
You know, Coach, using God's kind of a sewage and waste disposal system that he instilled in our body as a reproductive place, that's a pretty scary thought.
Hey, Dale.
Yeah.
They so screw up each other that they create charities to pay for what they did. Isn't that basically what it is?
Yeah, there. Huh? Yeah.
That's what it is. Okay, so here we go. Let's go back to Webster, because I'm really on after this weekend. I'm really on to masculinity again. Not that I haven't been, but the importance of it. We don't even know what it means. So you just type in masculinity and look at this, Jared. There ain't no word. There ain't any word. Is that unbelievable? They said, well, did you mean masculine? Click on masculine. See, did they? What does it say? Having the qualities of a man, which are what?
Strong,
robust, resembling man, coarse, opposed to delicate or soft, bold, brave, courage. In grammar, the masculine gender of the word is that which expresses a male or something analogous to it, or it is the gender appropriated to males, though not always expressing the male sex. So masculine was manly, coarse, straight talking, harsh. That's masculine. Isn't that crazy? Now, Jared, stay with me because I did a little bit more. Jared, see if you can find manliness. See if that was a word back in Webster's 1828 dictionary. Manliness. What's it say? Why, the qualities of being a man. Dignity, bravery, and boldness. Hey, boys, you seen that anywhere? Is anybody seeing that? The wicked are bold. LeBron's bold. Huh? You okay. Seen anything? No, not seeing that.
That's the 1828. I wonder if they've changed the definition of manliness.
In a regular dictionary. That'd be a good question. What's a new dictionary say about manliness, Jared? That's a good catch. In a manly manner. Oh yeah, what does that mean? In a manly manner.
That's funny.
We don't even know what that means, right? Manliness.
That's just funny.
In a manly manner, but they don't tell you what manly is, right? Oh, there it is. Having qualities generally associated with men, strong and virile. Appropriate in character to men. That's be appropriate now, see. They want to domesticate us, don't they?
Well, hey, Dave, think about it. They can't have a lot of brave and strong and not apply it to femininely. Aren't they brave and courageous and strong? Right. So what is the definition of manly nowadays?
What is it? So, Jared, while you go, what's masculine say? Male, having qualities appropriate to, or usually associated.
Yeah.
Right?
They left away.
Usually.
Hey, Dave, these words are offensive. These manly words, you know, that's offensive.
That's right. Of or relating to or constituting the gender that ordinarily includes most words of grammatical forms referring to man. Ordinarily. It's ordinarily. Right?
If it's extraordinary.
Or
then what?
Whatever.
That's okay.
Yeah. If it's different, that's
not associated with
it. That's right. So see, so think about this one. I just saw this. I don't have time to bring it up. You know what the real controversy is now? Are you ready? Are you ready for the real controversy in the Olympics? They're complaining because there are no male-male skating duos. And even though they're homos, most of the skaters are homos, right? I mean, come on, they are. Those male skaters, they're still male. And they're really, the originalists or the traditionalists are all upset because they say it will ruin skating if they have two men out there holding hands and lifting each other up in the air. It's not the same because the whole idea of figure skating, the two of them doing it together, is the masculine guy lifting up the girl.
Well, they had that movie about it where, I can't remember, the guy was in Napoleon Dynamite.
I didn't see it.
Okay, well, the next movie, he was in that movie, and then there was two male skaters. Anyway, they made it to where they could be available. Well, they had to skate together.
That's where they're heading now. See, that's where it's heading. The next Olympics will have male and male dancers.
And there'll be less and less watching, I'm sure.
Jared, back to Webster's Dictionary again. Yeah, we're running out of time. Chad, time flies when you get here. That's just time. Time flies.
I'm aging.
That's you are. Quickly. So, Chad, hey, Jared, bring up feminine. F-E-M-I-N-I-N-E. What's it say about feminine? Let's see. Pertaining to a woman or to women or to females as the female sex. Soft. Delicate.
Oh, tender.
Tender. Hey, guys, go to the Homo Pride Parade. You ain't going to see any of that. You'll see it in the men. You won't see it in the women. Effeminate. Destitute of manly quality. In grammar, denoting the gender or words which signify females, or the termination of such words as are said to be feminine gender when they denote females or have the termination. Oh, my goodness. Milton uses feminine as a noun for female. Well, Jared, what is it about feminize? We're running out of time here. Feminize. Feminize.
How do they teach children these words in elementary school? How do they do it?
I don't know.
I don't know they do.
The better question is...
They don't anymore.
Yeah, they probably don't anymore.
Now they teach them gender.
Hey, parents don't know this, and even if they did, what would they do?
Well, Mark, they have a beautiful choir at their school. The choir is great. Their football team is really, really good. Most public schools are bad, but ours is good. We have a Christian principal. Right? It's part of the great, great deception that continues to ravage us. And so I'm proudly leading the masculine manhood revival. Somebody say amen. Anybody in this thing with me?
Amen.
It's okay to be a man. Hey, Jared, what was it? Course? Isn't that what it said?
Course?
Jared, go back to masculine.
It's not something you take. It's not a class.
That's not a core. That's not a class.
It's like abrasive.
Go back to masculine. What's it say here? Heavenly qualities of man, strong, robust, resembling man, coarse, as opposed to delicate or soft, bold, brave. That's where I'm going. I'm going back to that. And Vinny. Hey, Vinny. I'm going to still point out where black men are failing because they don't have any idea what this word even means. And I'm going to say this before we go off the air. Do me a favor, you trolls. Quit sending me your emails because I'm going to tell you the truth. Some of those young men in that building where those shots were being fired, if they were masculine, trained, coarse, bold men, some of those young guys would have attacked that shooter when he wasn't looking at him. Some of them would have, right? And so you trolls that are sending me the email say I'm blaming them for their own death. How freaking screwed up are you? How can you hear something and then hear it like a woman hears it? I would hope that if somebody would have come into our house this weekend with these men in here, I hope Chad would have attacked them when they were shooting another direction. What did Chad? I don't know.
Well, what you want to do is, look, you don't wait to be a victim.
That's right, man.
You know, you're there, you have an opportunity, but don't be foolish either at the same time. You need to be watching and waiting for your moment to take back the initiative.
You know what I'm thinking here? Here's what I'm thinking. You guys help me if you're not. Abbott and Costello. Maybe we'll start this, huh? Huh? Tom and Dickie Smothers.
Who's on first?
These kids in school how to shoot. This is ridiculous, you know?
Oh, man. Hey, it's a gun-free zone. Don said it's a gun-free zone. No, it's only a gun-free zone until somebody shows up with a gun, right?
Right.
Somebody shows up. Hey.
It's going to be a gun-free zone.
Vinny, I got hair on my chest. I'm proud of it. I got some hair on my back. I'm proud of it. I'm a man. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to be a man. I believe God the Father was a man. I believe he was masculine and strong and at times coarse. At sometimes he demanded punishment and demanded killing.
Amen.
That's a God I serve. That's a God I serve. That's sissy Jesus with that long hair and blue eyes and smiling up at the moon. That ain't it. You serve the God you see.
My Jesus is a man. That's right.
You serve the God you see. I got to get Chad to the airport. Say bye to Chad.
Be good. Be good, Chad. Have a good
Bless one, you guys. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Take care.